Hey, I'm Steve Gambrill, and I'm thrilled that we have this time together. I pray that God would help you to understand how great He is and how great His plan is for your life. Come on, let's enjoy God together.
Hi everyone, thanks for joining us today. I'm grateful to have this opportunity to share in the Word with you today as we continue our series, Hope is Here. If you missed it last week, I want to encourage you to go back and listen to Pastor Charlotte's message as we started the series. Such a great word for this season. But we're going to press on today with part two. And we're actually going to end up in one of my favorite Christmas scriptures. It's found in Isaiah 9, and it was written 700 years before Jesus was born about Jesus. That's pretty amazing in itself, but it's a beautiful scripture and we're going to get there. But before we do, we're going to take quite a major detour together because I want us to press into this word hope. This series is called Hope is Here. But I think hope is one of those words that in sort of modern times, we've lost the true meaning of it a little bit. We've sort of watered it down and diluted it. And I don't know if you've ever tried, but just try for a minute to define the word hope. What is hope? It's quite difficult to define. Maybe it's just me. I found it quite difficult to define. And I thought what I'll do is we'll look in the dictionary and see what the definition of hope is. And it says this in the dictionary, a feeling of expectation or a desire. Now, I don't know about you, but that sounds quite weak. It's just a feeling. It's just a general desire. It doesn't sound very strong. And then it gives you an example of where you might use the word. It says, just wanting something to happen. Now, that sounds very diluted when we're standing here saying, hope is here. If hope is just wanting something to happen, is that the hope that we want? And as I thought about how I use the word and I hear the word used around me, I don't know about you, but I use the word for things like, oh, I hope it doesn't rain today, or oh, I hope it comes with gravy, or you know, it's just something that you kind of want to happen, but there's no certainty to it. There's nothing anchoring that belief. It's not a fundamental core belief. It's just a desire. It's just something that I'd like to see. And often that's how we interpret this word hope. We often put it in sports terms as well. I'm a football fan. I love Newcastle United, and now watch all the comments start in the feed there. I know there are other football teams, but Newcastle United, come on. But I would often say, oh, I hope we win. Now, granted, it doesn't happen very often, but every time we play, I'm thinking, oh, I hope we win today. And that hope is based on very little. It's just something that I would like to see happen. It just would be nice if we'd win. It's just a hope. And we've watered it down that much, but then we add phrases like this. Any football fans will probably have heard this one. We say things like, it's the hope that kills you. And what we mean by that is when you hope in something and then it doesn't happen, like we hope we win the game, or hope we win the next game, or hope we win the next game, you get excited because you think it's going to come off. But then when it doesn't, we get disappointed, we get disillusioned. And that phrase is almost saying, there's no point hoping whatsoever. And we get on this downward spiral where we put our hope in things, we just hope something happens with no basis, then it doesn't, and we get disappointed. And we end up with what I think is an epidemic of hopelessness. Why? Because we're putting our hope not in something that's certain, just in wishful thinking, in fingers crossed, oh, I hope it happens. And if that is the hope that we mean when we say hope is here, I would question whether we want more of that hope in our life. So with that mini crisis going on in my mind, I thought, hang on, we better get to the Word of God and see what the Bible has to say about hope. Now I want to read you a scripture from Hebrews 6 verse 19 that talks about hope. Here we go. It says this, we have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. It enters the inner sanctuary behind the curtain where our forerunner Jesus has entered on our behalf. He has become a high priest forever. Now, when I read that scripture, there's one word and quite a strange little word that jumped out at me, and it was the word this. Yes, the word this. We have this hope And when I read that, I kind of sort of laughed to myself, because I believe it's in, you know, we have this hope. There's this hope and there's that hope. There's that hope that we just spoke about that is just fingers crossed, wishful thing, and I kind of just hope it happens. But this is not that hope. This hope is different. This hope, it says, is firm. It's strong and secure. It's steadfast. This hope is very different to that hope. And this is the hope that I want to talk about today. What does the Bible say about this hope? It says it is an anchor for your soul. Wow. What do anchors do? They stop you drifting. If you're in a ship, you put that anchor down in the storm and it keeps you secure in the right place, not drifting off course. And Pastor Charles referred to that last week, because so often we find ourselves drifting away from this hope that we have. We find ourselves in places we never wanted to find ourselves, and in situations or emotions that we never wanted. Why? Because we've drifted away from hope. And the Bible is saying, no, there's an anchor. This hope that I'm talking about is an anchor that will keep you firm and secure. Now, the effectiveness of an anchor is where the anchor is tied to. Where does it catch hold? Where is it anchored to? And so often that's the problem. We put that expectation and we try and anchor in the wrong things that won't hold, things that, and not through lack of good intention, but it could be hope in a job or a financial situation, hope in a relationship, but these things aren't all firm and secure as much as we try and as much as we'd want them to be. The important thing, the effectiveness of the anchor, is what it is anchored to. And that's what the Bible goes on to describe for us. It uses this phrase, it says, it goes behind the curtain. Now, I agree that does sound a little bit Wizard of Oz, but let me explain it to you. It's basically saying that our hope is anchored in Jesus and what he has done for us. Because it says that our hope, this hope, not that hope, but this hope, it enters the inner sanctuary behind the curtain where our forerunner, Jesus, has entered on our behalf. Now, what that's referring to, this curtain, let me just explain that for a moment, is the presence of God before Jesus came along. The presence of God was found in the temple. And in the middle of the temple, there was a place called the Holy of Holies. And there was a curtain in that temple. And that curtain effectively separated man from God, humanity from divinity. We couldn't cross that. We couldn't just have a relationship with our Father God. And so what the priests would do is they would offer sacrifices to pay for the debt of our sin, to try and atone for our sin. And they would send a priest in once a year to make these sacrifices. And they would even tie a rope to his ankle so that they could pull him out if he died in the presence of the most holy God. But this is the good news. This is the good news of the gospel, that Jesus came. And the Bible records that when he died on the cross, at that moment, the curtain, the veil in the temple, this curtain was torn in two. And it wasn't torn from the bottom by man's endeavor, by something that we could do. No, it was torn from the top down as if the hand of God himself had reached down and torn that separation. See, because of what Jesus did, there is now no separation between us and God. So our anchor is firmly in what Jesus has done for us. It's in our relationship with our Father God because of Jesus. Jesus became the ultimate sacrifice, one sacrifice for all people for all time. It was his blood that was shed. That's why we call him the Lamb of God, or the sacrificial lamb. And because of that, now when God looks at you and me, he doesn't see you and me. He sees us through the eyes of Jesus. He sees us in the righteousness that Jesus has died to give us, so we can boldly approach the throne of God. That is where our anchor holds. The strength of our hope is not in the strength of the emotion or the amount of wishing or the fingers crossed hoping. The strength of this hope is about the object to which it is fixed, and that is Jesus. Jesus is not just the foundation of our hope. He is the very substance of our hope. And this hope is different to that hope. This hope says, nothing can separate me from the love of God. This hope says I'm more than a conqueror. This hope says that his promises for me are yes and amen. This hope says we can boldly approach God's throne. This hope says that because of Jesus, we are no longer slaves, but are sons and daughters of a Most High God. This is the hope that we're stood on. And so we're going to turn to this scripture in Isaiah that, as I said, was written 700 years before Jesus came, about Jesus. And this scripture is about Jesus that we've just discussed is our hope. He is the substance and foundation of our hope. And this verse in Isaiah, this verse tells us about the nature and the characteristics of that hope. So are you ready? We're going to dive in. Here we go. Isaiah 9, verse 6. It says this: "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." What a beautiful scripture. We're just going to break that down for just a few moments in this time that we have left. I love that it starts out saying a child is born and a son is given. You see, Jesus was both a child in humanity. He was born a child, but he was also a son. He was the son of his heavenly Father. And that's so important because he was born a child, born into weakness, not born into royalty in a palace. He was born into a manger in a stable. And he was born just like you and just like me, born into frailty, born into weakness. So we can identify with Jesus. He walked on this earth and faced the things that we faced the same temptations. But he was not just human. He was divine. He was fully man, yet he was fully God. He's the Son of God. And the great news about that is only Jesus could do what Jesus did for us. Only he could conquer death. Only he could bring us the freedom that he brought us. We can't do it on our own strength. Nobody else could pay that price. But praise God that he sent his son, Jesus. And that's why we declare hope is here, because by his grace, because of Jesus, we can now have relationship with our Father God. Hope is here. This is the hope that he is a child and he is the son. This is the hope that we have, that the government will be on his shoulders, it says. Don't know about you, but I look around the world, there's so much unrest, just even the political climate or injustice that we see around us. But we can know this hope because he reigns, he rules, he has authority. And our prayer and our mission on this earth is to see his kingdom come, his will be done on this earth as it is in heaven. And as we step forward into that and bring in his kingdom, we can know that ultimately we have the authority in him, that he rules and he reigns. And as bad as it all might look, we have a hope, a firm, secure hope, this hope, because he is Lord. The government is on his shoulders. Not only is the government on his shoulders, here we hear more about the nature of Jesus. And it says that he is our Wonderful Counselor. We have this hope because he is your Wonderful Counselor. He is here for you to guide, to lead, to advise, to direct. He knows you. He knows you so intently. And I don't know what kind of difficult situations or decisions you're facing right now, but he knows you. Like I said earlier, he was born fully God, yet fully man. So he identifies with you. He's been there. He's been through it. But he knows you. He is your light. He is your guide. Have you got questions at the moment? Have you got things that you're like, I don't know what to do about this? Take them to Jesus, because this is the hope that we have, that he is firm and secure. He is your Wonderful Counselor. He can guide and strengthen you. Leads me to the next one. This hope we have is in the fact that he is a mighty God. He's not a weak God. He's a mighty God. All strength and power are his. Nothing is too difficult for him. You may feel like you've lost a couple of rounds, but you will win the fight. Why? Because God is on your side. He cannot be defeated. I love it when you dig into this word, this mighty God, when you look at the root meaning of that word, another way to translate it would be as hero God. He's your hero. He's your savior. He's your redeemer. He's the one that's going to hold you up and strengthen you. And as I said, nothing is too difficult for him. So maybe you've lost hope. Maybe the situations that just seem just too far gone. They're just too big. No, no, no. Come back to this hope. In this season, hope is here. And it's not that hope that the world gives where we just hope and cross our fingers. No, it's this hope because he is mighty God. The Bible also tells us here in Isaiah that he is your everlasting father. We have this hope in the fact that he is our father. Now, when I read the word father, I always kind of think of myself because I'm a father and I think about the way that I father. And I know for me that although my kids are awesome, they're not 100% perfectly behaved all the time. They do have their moments. I won't tell you any of those to embarrass them, but they have their moments. Now, if they do something wrong or they mess up, it doesn't change how much I love them. I still love them. How much more does Father God love us? And some of you have had a really tough year, and some of you in the lockdown and in the pressure of this year, some things have come out of you that you've not been proud of, that you hadn't realized were in there. And you just need to know, God's not surprised by those things. God loves you. He hasn't changed his mind about you. It doesn't matter what your past has been or where you've come from or what's happened. God loves you. He loves you. He loves you. He loves you. He's also a strong and as a father, he's strong and stable. He is dependable. I don't know what your experience of your earthly father is, what kind of father you've had, but God will not let you down. And I know there's times with me and my kids and I've said, kids, you know, just trust me on this. And it's not, sometimes, you know, I do my best, but it's not always gone well. What one time springs to mind when I told my son to trust me and on his first roller coaster ride, that did not go well at all. So, you know, we fail, but God does not fail. And it might look like at the moment that things aren't going well. It might look like that promise isn't going to come to pass, but hold on to what? Hold on to this hope that he is your everlasting father. The final part of this verse says that he is your Prince of Peace. We have this hope because he is your Prince of Peace. That's who Jesus is. He is peace. He is. He owns it. He's the full representation of peace. Now, over Christmas, you might be looking for a little bit of peace and quiet. I know Christmas is going to be different for many of us this year, but you know, you might try and find that little bit of peace amongst the chaos and, I don't know, watch a Christmas movie, have a nice meal, do that sort of thing. But those things, they don't last, do they? The movie finishes or the meal's over and then what are we left with? And Jesus is saying, no, I'm not just your peace in the distraction for a moment. I'm your constant peace. I'm the peace that anchors you, that holds you secure, no matter what is going on around you. I heard somebody say this, that peace is not the absence of something. It's the presence of someone. It's the presence of Jesus. And his peace that he gives, it surpasses understanding. It that basically means it doesn't make sense. You can be going through so many things and yet still have total peace. This is the hope. This is the hope that we have in Jesus. And as we draw this to a close, maybe you've moved away from hope. Maybe you've put your hope in the wrong thing and you've drifted away like Pastor Charles spoke about last week. But maybe today as I'm speaking, you're realizing that you've kind of watered down or diluted this hope that we have. This hope isn't just wishful thinking. As I said, it's not just fingers crossed and positive thinking. No, this hope we have is firm and secure. Why? Because we are secure in what Jesus has done for us. And my prayer today is really this, that you would receive this hope. That you would receive this hope. And I want to encourage you in this moment, take a hold of one of these things, at least one, that he is your wonderful counselor, mighty God, everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. What do you need right now? Where do you need to restore that hope? Where do you need to take a hold of that firm and secure hope?
Hey, thank you so much for watching. We pray to God that you've been impacted by how great God's word is, by how great God's plan is for your life. But I do want to say, if you need prayer for anything, then drop us a line, drop us an email. We would love to hear from you so that we can pray for you and just continue on this journey of building life together. Have a great week, month, year ahead.